Let's take your Bibles and we're going to go to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2. Title of this teaching is All of One. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 11 it says, For both he that sanctifieth and they that are sanctified are all of one. They're all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brother. Lord Jesus Christ sanctified us. He is the sanctifier of you and I. He is the one that sanctification means to be set apart. Set apart really for a holy purpose to God in this context. He is the sanctifier of all of us who are sanctified. Now, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you've confessed him as Lord, you keep him Lord, you do what the Word says, you are in that category. You have been sanctified to him. And God in the Old Testament, when he always had someone else sanctify the priests, remember, he had Moses. Was the one Moses was God's what do you call that, stand-in? There's a better word for it, but he was the one that represented God to the people. He was their prophet, but he was the one that represented God. He set up, and he was the one who washed Aaron, his brother. He literally washed him. He gave him the clothes that he was supposed to wear. They were made according to the pattern that God gave to Moses, he gave to them. All of these things, even right down to their underwear, they could come to God only because they were sanctified, set apart for God. And in taking all those beautiful linen clothes and everything else, they sprinkled it with blood and the oil. Nobody came to God without sanctification. And nobody sanctified themselves. God is the sanctifier of our Lord and Savior. Jesus Christ sanctified us so that we could be just like Moses sanctified the priests and the high priest and the rest of the priests and the people, really. But I want you to just see the bigger picture here. We've been called out. We've been set apart. And he is the one that did this. He is the sanctifier. He that sanctified. And they that are sanctified are all of one. They're all one. Now that has got to hit you between the eyes. You and the Lord are one. You and the Lord, as far as the scripture is concerned, I know people have a hard time wrapping their head around this, but as far as the scripture is concerned, you and the Lord are absolutely one. One people, one family. You know, it says, like, God made all human beings of one blood, right? As far as he's concerned, there's no difference. We do the stupid things. We're one. Then we all fell. One man sinned and gave us the curse, was upon all. And Jesus was one man who died, and by his accomplished work and what he did on the cross, we all, those that believe on him, all are one. So we are family. Lord is our brother. All human beings, and now we're talking about spiritually, all those who are sanctified by the Lord Jesus Christ are one. That's an amazingly wonderful thought. It's revolutionary. It's revolutionary in the years it was. It's revolutionary today. But it should bring an element of great peace, thanksgiving. It also ought to bring an element in your heart that of what he is owed, who you belong to. You know, we've been bought with a price, it says in Corinthians. We are peculiar people. All right? That's all these things are true. They're not true because we did anything. Our sanctification didn't come because we acted well or had a good mind or a good life. That comes, you know, that'll be the second part of this teaching. We came to this oneness with Christ because of him and his sacrifice, and we brought nothing to the table. In that, go to Hebrews 12. Oh, excuse me, 10. My glasses are in need of being changed. In Hebrews 10, verse 10, it says, by the which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. It's once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifice, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down at the right hand of God. He did it once and for all, but he did it once for all, for everyone. Anyone who comes to him is his and the Lord's, set apart for the master's use. Go to John chapter 10. See, I don't care what you feel like. You shouldn't care what you feel like. You are what he says you are. And the more you grab that in your brain and hold on to it with all of your heart, the...
Recording in progress.
Oh, we missed the first little part. The more you grab that in your heart, the more you put this in your head and you internalize this truth that we're talking about. When you internalize this truth, then you should feel better. But I don't care. You know, you could be miserable, and this is still true. You know, maybe you screwed up so badly you're in jail for the next 10 years. This is still true. In John chapter 10, in verse 36, say you of him whom the Father hath sanctified. This is Jesus Christ talking to the Pharisees. You say of him who the Father has sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I say I am the Son of God. You're talking to me, the one that the Father has sanctified? Jesus was sanctified of his Father. He was set apart for the work that God wanted him to do. And he did the word, and he obeyed, ultimately dying, and God raised him from the dead. But he said to them, you're talking to me, the one that God sanctified and sent? See, he knew this was true. It didn't matter what anyone else said. Didn't matter what anyone else thought. Didn't matter how they treated him. He knew his place. He knew who he was and what his purpose was. I want us to be that convinced. I want us to think this way. Somebody calls you whatever. I've been called a lot of things this week. You know what? I know what I am, who I am. And I bow to none of it. You don't bow to it. You don't let it set you off. You know, because when you're convinced of who and what you are and what your purpose is, like the Lord, and nobody moves you. Nobody. In John chapter 17, in verse 19, Jesus Christ is praying to his Father, and he says, "And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also, which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they may all be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me." We are one with the Lord, and we are one with the Father, because he was one with the Father. We have a relationship, this oneness, a relationship that is astounding. And again, it's true because God's word says it's true. And you just stay steadfast on it. You stay put. In Ephesians chapter 5, and an explanation of the mystery, an example of the mystery, and this oneness. Ephesians chapter 5. And verse 26. This is a section that a lot of, talked about husbands and wives, right? But it's all concerning Christ and the mystery. You know, this whole thing of Ephesians, this is an example. The husband and wife is an example of an explanation of the mystery itself. And it says here in verse 26, that he might, talking about the Lord, well, look at 25, "Husbands, love your wives, even as," a literal comparison, "even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." That's how you're to love your wife. This is what a perfect husband would be. This is like the utopian marriage. She's married to the Lord, and she obeys the Lord. All right? Doesn't happen in real life real often. But in a beautiful example of the way it is with God in Christ and us, this is the way it's laid out. "You love your wife even as Christ also loved the church and he gave himself for it." He died for the church. "That he might sanctify and cleanse it." The Lord is the one who sanctifies and cleanses the church with the washing of water by the word. The Lord did the word. He did God's will. He was the one who sanctified us, set us apart with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. See, you are sanctified so that you are holy and without blemish by the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's not true of my flesh today. That's not true of my mind today. But when he appears and I get a new body and a new mind, one that God will put his word in, there'll be no more of the sin nature in me, then I will be holy and without blemish before him. In the meantime, he still wants us to live holy lives because we are set apart for the Master's use. In verse 32, it says, "This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church," talking about the husband and the wife. Remember Adam and Eve? You know, he said to them, in fact, that prophecy is right here in verse 31. "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh." Adam and Eve didn't have a mom and dad. This was a prophecy Adam spoke, because it was going to be the type. See, you leave mom and dad, and the two of you become one. Mary and I are no longer really two separate people with two separate lives. We've been married now, getting close, right? We're getting close to 48. Come October. That's a long time. I didn't even know I'd live that long, let alone be married that long. We no longer, and it's really true, it takes a while to develop, but you no longer are two separate people. You no longer do what the heck you want to do separately. At least not, you know, not in the big things. There's nothing I do that I don't think about her and how it will affect her. There's nothing she does that she doesn't think about me and how I am affected by it. We are essentially one. And that oneness is the same oneness that we have with God and Christ in us. I don't do anything. When I manifest that oneness, I don't do anything in respect to, this has got nothing to do with my Lord. You follow me? I got to think that same way. Well, it's as good as I can explain it. So our Lord is the one who has done this. 2 Corinthians. We're going to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And in verse 21. See, he was the one that paid the price. This is the sacrifice that God accepted so that when we were washed in the blood of the Lamb. We were washed in the blood that he sacrificed of himself. And in verse 21 it says, "For he had made him," God had made him to be sin or to be the sin offering for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He made him to be the sin offering. He was innocent. He knew no sin. That you and I might be made the righteousness of God in him. He took upon him our sins. He gave us his righteousness. As righteous as Christ is, he has given that to you and I. And he took away all that was filthy and sin and took it upon himself when he went to the cross. In Romans 8, says the same truth a different way. In verse 3, it says, "For the law could not, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin," or for sacrifice for sin, the sin offering, "he condemns sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." He made his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for that sacrifice for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. When Jesus Christ did this for us, when he did for us, he was our substitute offering. We have his righteousness. We have his sanctification. We are one with him and our Father in heaven. It's all on what he did. All on what he did. And Romans 3, in verse 21, it says, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is made manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets." Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. This was done by the faith of Jesus Christ. You know, when Jesus Christ fulfilled the law, fulfilled the word of God and did everything that he did, this was his faith. He did what God told him to do. He accomplished it. It's done by his faith. Not by mine, not by yours. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, it's unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. That righteousness is unto us who believe. If we believe the word, if we believe the gospel, that righteousness is unto us. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, who God had set forth to be the propitiation," or the payment, "through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be the just and the justifier of him which believes in Jesus." See, God, this is his righteousness. Christ did it. He did the word. We now have that righteousness because we believe the gospel. We believe on the fact that his blood has covered us and given us remission of sins. And this was God's plan. This is what God required for the payment of Adam's sin. Adam killed us all. Adam brought sin, sickness, death into the world. And we pass that on generation after generation. Christ is the one man whose sacrifice for all gives the gift of eternal life, if we believe. And God is the one who designed this. This is God is the righteous. And we declare his righteousness that he might be just. We call God as just. Is it bad that we die? We get old, we fall apart, we die. Yeah, it's not pleasant. But God is the just one who has delivered us from eternal death. Christ is the one who paid for it. We will realize everything that he did. We will realize everything that he accomplished when he returns. See, he ratified the covenant on the cross, that it'll be realized when he returns. So, beautiful. Now, First Thessalonians 4. So we have all of this. We have all of this has been done for us. We are righteous. We are sanctified. We are justified. We are in this place of oneness with our Lord, with Almighty God. And that's where you stand. That's where you are. That's who you are. And you choose whether to be talked out of it or not. But because you have it and you believe, then there is a response. Because of who and what you are. See, sanctification was to set something apart so that we could live in a holy way to God, so that we could serve him in a holy way, because nobody served the Lord without that. Nobody came to God. You know, the Old Testament, it shows you vivid examples and the type. No priest came to God. Remember Aaron's kids, they put, you know, God says, I'm going to light the fires, right? Aaron's kids go in and light the things to burn the sacrifice, and they're dead. You don't even bring unholy fire before the Lord. God always sent the fire down, licked up the offering. Nobody's putting wood under it. He accepted the offerings. He did that in Elijah's day. Remember? Oh, the whole mess of people, they don't even know who God is. And yet God sent down the fire, licked up the water, licked up the offering, licked up the wood. And the people said, oh, the Lord, he's God. The Lord, he's God. They couldn't, because they weren't really sure before that. He did the same thing with Abraham. He did the same thing with Jacob. And I believe he did the same thing in Genesis with Abel, but I can't, that doesn't say, but I'm pretty sure that that's the way it went. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. verse 3 it says, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification." You setting yourself apart. This is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles, which know not God. And that no man go and beyond and defraud his brother in any manner, because the Lord is the avenger of all such. As we also have forewarned you and testified, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. This is the will of the Lord, because we have been made righteous, sanctified, we have been set apart for God's. We have to live this way and not live after the Gentile, not live after the old man nature, the flesh nature. Not to give in to everything else that goes on. Well, I mean, this is just, I owe my Lord everything. If I believe that he did it for me. You know, if I don't really believe it, then I don't act like it. And that's where it's coming down to. See, if I'm really one with him, like Mary and I are one, then you don't go ahead and do something to harm the other. Go to 2 Timothy. Chapter 2. Start reading in verse 19. "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knows them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." Living in a sin nature. Verse 20. "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." The context of 2 Timothy is getting rid of the crazy doctrines and living godly in this section. You want to be set apart for the master's use. What kind of vessel are you? In a big house, in the body of Christ, there are all kinds of vessels. Now, if you look at it, the body of Christ, there's all kinds, there's some to honor, and there's some to dishonor, or less honor. It could also be translated. You know, you got garbage cans. All right, and then you got Tiffany teacups, whatever you want to call it. I don't know what's the best thing in the house. We ain't got any Tiffany teacups. But you got things that are more honorable, trophies, and you got less, toilet bowls. All right, all necessary. Point is, spiritually, we want to be the individuals. We don't want to pick what kind of pot we're going to be. We want to decide how separate from the world we're going to be, so that we can be an honor and a glory unto God. Not everybody attains what they know to do. Let's put it that way. You decide. between you and him. You're one with him. He's the one that you owe, not me. You owe him everything. You owe him eternal life that he gave. You owe him the blessings. You owe him because he made you part of the covenants. You owe him because he put you in wholeness with the family and walks with you. You don't owe me. Now, we as brothers and sisters, we're all one. One for all. Right? No, it's actually all for one. It's all for one. And that one was for all. We enjoy each other. We love each other. We respect each other. We're supposed to, right? There's a billion other brothers and sisters out there I'll never meet. And it's okay. Because we'll be together in eternity. I can only deal with what I got. But you have to have the Lord as the one that you're one with. The one who sanctified you. So, go to Ephesians 2, a couple more verses. So, most people, what's in it for me? Really, if you're mature in the scriptures, it's what am I doing for him? That's really when you grow up. When I first started out as a Christian, it was what's in it for me. I mean, it's okay. I needed a lot. And it motivated me to turn to him because I needed deliverance. But after a little while here, it's like, what can I do for you? Like I said, it's a response. It's a response to the faith that you have, to the blessings that you received. Ephesians 2:10, it says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Many people in religion, just like Cain, they wanted to give God what Cain wanted. I don't know if you're that. I'm sure you're all familiar with Cain and Abel, right? Abel did a righteous act. That means he did it according to God's word. He gave of the first of the flock that he had, the lamb. It was a blood offering. Cain brought of the fruit of the ground because he was a farmer. Cain wanted to do what he wanted to do. He wanted to give what he wanted to give. That's the first religious act in the scriptures, where you decide how you want to worship God. You want to do it your way. Now, same thing is true here. We are created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God did before ordain that we should walk in it. This is what God wants. He wants us to walk in these works, right? But you don't do the works to get in good with God, or to get sanctified, or to get righteous. You got righteous, you got sanctified, you got justified, therefore you can do the good works. Remember, nobody gets sanctified on their own. Your own works all were dead in trespasses and sins. He did. He separated you out for the service of the Lord. It's been done so that you can do something that is a glory and an honor to Him. And He wants us to walk that way. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. According as He had chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. He wants us to be holy and without blame. And it's all before Him. Like I said, there's this oneness here. I have God in Christ in me. There is no separation between my breath and Him being in me. And if you're aware of that, then you live differently. Yeah, just put it in the simplest terms possible. If you're really aware that God in Christ is in, I mean, there's some people who think, oh, I can get away with this. The Lord ain't going to see this. Or they're stupid enough to think, oh, I'll do it. And then, oh, He'll forgive me later on when I ask Him. I mean, would you really work your father? Or maybe you would. Or your mother that way. I know people who would. So that's really a poor example. If you had an Old Testament God for a father, you know what I mean? Thunder and lightning, you know, judgment right there. If you had one of those, would you work Him? Oh, I'll take the car and I'll bring it back before He knows anything and lie to Him and abuse His stuff. Abuse what He's given you. Abuse the privilege. Abuse His name. And expect nothing. I think you'd be shaking in your boots before you did that. I know that was true of my old man. You know, so God isn't that way. He's not that kind of God. But He deserves even more respect. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Go to 1 John. I'm going to close out in 1 John. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, it says, "But if you walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sins. If we walk in the light as He is the light," that's when we have fellowship one with another. And His blood has cleansed us from all sins. We got that oneness. In chapter 2, verse 6, it says, He that saith he abides in Him ought himself also to walk, even as He walked. If we really abide in Him, then we walk as He walked. We walk in love. We walk with that, you know, I mean, but remember what I said before? Jesus said to the Pharisees, "You talking to me, the one God sanctified? Because I'm saying I'm the Son of God." When the world says to you that you are anything, I mean, just think of what they think of Christians. There are nations, quite a few. You can't bring the Bible there. You can't speak about the Lord without being arrested or killed. We're talking about quite a few places. There's only a handful of countries that you really want to live in, like this one, that you can. And it's easily lost. That's all easily lost. But regardless, I don't care if you live in the Roman Empire, where they're using Christians to light the streets at night as torches. Right? You belong to him. You live for him. You are what he says you are. Whether they're persecuting you or killing you or what, you know, I don't want to get too dark. But, you know, whether somebody out there is going to fire you or look at you funny. They're literally a Christian set. They hide their Bibles. They don't want anybody to know I really read the Bible. Are you kidding me? See, to me, just, you know, the Lord just saw that. He just felt that. You were ashamed of him. Well, he says in that day, I won't confess you before my Father either. You have been sanctified by his sacrifice in blood so that you are good for the Master's use in doing the things that God wants done here and now. Holding forth the word, speaking about him, loving one another, forgiving one another. You know, helping each other. So that's what I wanted to share with you. And bless you.